95 BFM News Election Coverage 2020, Environment.
Indeed, so this week we are joined by Jeff Simmons of the Opportunities Party. Producer James Tapp of the Thursday Wire got in touch with him to discuss all things environment, from farms to cats and everything in between. Let's give it a listen.
Yeah, so that's a really, really good question. And the whole idea of our water policy for farmers is to use an idea which was created by the Nobel Prize winner, the first woman to win a Nobel Prize of Economics, called Eleanor Ostrom. So her idea is that what you say to communities is you say, right, we are going to measure the outcomes, so we'll put monitoring in for the rivers and in all these areas. And we'll say, look, we're setting certain standards for this river, and you guys have to work together to achieve that. Now, if farmers in that area don't work together and don't achieve their goals, that's when we will regulate. But the whole idea is that you encourage farmers to work together in their communities, in their subcatchments, and make the improvements themselves, work out the best way to improve water quality amongst themselves, and that threat of regulation is there and is only used if they don't meet the outcomes. So the whole idea is that we're trying to avoid telling farmers how to farm.
I don't necessarily know a lot of farmers, but farmers seem to want to have the environment at the forefront. So surely they would already want to be doing this, correct? Like they would be wanting to make sure that they're looking after the environment. So
absolutely, and that's why the national approach isn't working. The national approach is to get rid of regulation. Farmers realise that they need to act on water quality. Meanwhile, the Labor and Greens approach, they don't like that either, because they're being told how to farm. So all the regulations are about how they should do the farming. What we're trying to say to them is, actually, yeah, we know that you want what's best for our water, and if you work together in your catchments and work out the best way of improving water in your area, then there won't be any regulation.
So will TOP offer support to make sure that farmers are meeting these regulations or are making
Absolutely.
Sure that they're improving?
Yeah, so we are going to offer farm advisors to create farm plans to help them do that. And those farm advisors will work with farmers in a subcatchment to come up with a plan for how they can meet their water quality goals. But it's up to the farmers to agree how to implement that.
Okay, and so also in your policy, it talks about making sure that the right farms are in the right places. How would this be enforced? I mean, it's not like farmers can just move their farms to where it suits best.
No, you're right. We can't move farms to where they suit best. But we do have pretty good information now from satellite imagery about the different types of land that exist in New Zealand. And we know what kinds of farms are suitable for different land types. So when farm advisors go into farms, that's the information that they will have that they can work with the farmers on. And mostly that will just be about adapting practices. It'll be about, you know, what bits of the farm should be planted in native trees, what bits of the farm should be focused on for production. There are a few areas of the country where we just have totally the wrong farms in the wrong places, and Canterbury is a good example of that. We just have too many cows on the land as it stands, and that's why the rivers and lakes are in such poor condition. So what we will need to invest in that area. We'll need to invest in innovation, new ways of farming, new crops, all that sort of stuff to help farmers shift away from the, you know, the current intensive dairying on that we see on the Canterbury Plains at the moment. But through most of the country, it'll just take minor tweaks here and there, getting farmers operating at best practice to sort out our fresh water quality issues.
Okay. So now moving on to some of your other policy around biodiversity. So New Zealand is a hub for biodiversity and we can't afford to lose it. So what would TOP do to make sure that this doesn't happen?
So what we're suggesting is that every development has to make sure that the environment is in a better shape overall as a result of that. Now that might mean that we have intensive development in a few areas, but we should be then using some of the funds from that to improve nature in other areas. The other big thing with our biodiversity policy is to really focus on private land and community groups. This government, to their credit, has done quite a lot to improve activity on the dock estates, but we need to work much more with private landowners to reward them for looking after stands of native bush and for trapping and fencing, all that sort of stuff, so that we have much more of a network of areas of biodiversity for our native species.
Okay. And also along these sort of with biodiversity. Now, previously, the leader of the Opportunities Party, Gareth Morgan, previously has stated that he wanted a cat-free New Zealand. Is this a view the party still holds?
No, that was never actually top party policy. That was Gareth's personal opinion. I mean, we do need to manage. Our pets. We already do that with dogs. We would like to see better management of cats, and you know, just so that we can control feral cats in particular. Of course, pet cats that are well looked after are no problem, but we would like to see cats being microchipped so that when they're found in the bush, we know that they're feral and we can control those.
Okay. Sweet. So now moving on to climate change action policy. When it comes to urban New Zealand, what would TOP want to be implementing to start getting New Zealand to a point where the whole country is carbon neutral?
Did you say urban New Zealand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the most important thing we need to do in urban New Zealand is to build up around our public and active transport networks, medium density. So everyone's focused on transport and getting people into EVs or getting them using trains or that sort of thing. But actually the stuff that gives the best return on investment is actually building medium density housing so that people can live closer to where they work and play. Let's actually reduce travel times. And we know that particularly younger people want to live closer to where they work and play. So we need to encourage that medium density development in our cities around those public and active transport networks, that's walking and cycling, so that everyone can live in cities without a car and can get wherever they want to within 15 minutes. That's really our vision for urban New Zealand. And of course, those homes need to be warm and dry so that we reduce our energy usage there too.
And what about rural New Zealand? What would they expect to see?
Yeah, so in rural New Zealand, I mean, this is where we need to, the fresh water stuff that we've already talked about is going to make a massive difference to our carbon emissions from farming. We're talking about having a simple integrated system to help farmers improve their environmental outcomes. And when it comes to transport in rural areas, I mean, sadly, the Greens' idea of high-speed rail doesn't stack up. The business case isn't there. In our rural communities, it is going to be about cars, and we are going to need to make sure that they are switched to electric cars. So that's where we're encouraging, through removing the fringe benefit tax on electric vehicles, we're going to encourage people to uptake electric vehicles. But in our cities, the focus should be on public and active transport.
Okay, and what cost will this, would all of this have for New Zealanders?
Well, that's the great thing about top policy, is that we're focused on the areas with the biggest bang for buck. So a lot of the ideas that are being, you know, of course, National and New Zealand First sort of barely pretend to care about climate change. A lot of the stuff that Labor and the Greens are putting forward sounds really good, but they're actually incredibly expensive for the amount of emissions reduction that we achieve. Through focusing on energy efficiency, reducing our energy usage, TOP's proposal is actually going to be the most cost-effective way of reducing our emissions. But one of the key things we need to do is to raise the price of carbon. We think it needs to double. That'll encourage all of our companies to stop using fossil fuels for their manufacturing processes. So, and that will bring in about $1 billion a year in extra revenue. And that's exactly the amount that we need to transition our economy to a low carbon economy. So increase the carbon price, that raises about $1 billion a year. And that's the money we invest in electric vehicles and in energy efficiency.
Okay. So today, finally, we're going to look at infrastructure. Now, on your website, you talk about infrastructure being where political parties get their votes. So what policies does the Opportunities Party have which will capture New Zealanders' votes?
Well, that's exactly the problem. Your question is the problem. We have parties, all political parties now, are using infrastructure projects to buy votes. National want to dig tunnels everywhere. Labor are similarly, you know, getting in behind road projects, the kind of national light. And, of course, the Greens backing you know, big ideas like high-speed regional rail. None of these projects actually stack up when you look at the business cases. They're all big ideas, but they're just chasing rainbows. Another example for Labor is this Onslow pumped hydro scheme. We need to focus on the stuff that has the best return on investment, and that should absolutely include getting our emissions down. So TOP's focus is on infrastructure that is going to get emissions down and has the best return on investment. Now, I can't tell you what that is because at the moment we don't do those independent business cases, so we don't know where the best return on investment is to invest. But there's one thing I know, is that currently, local government has 40% of the infrastructure in this country and only 7% of the revenue to do anything with it, to actually look after it and build new infrastructure. So our proposal is to give councils the DST on new development so that they can spend that money on local infrastructure. That'll increase their budgets by about 20%. So that will allow councils to invest in things like water infrastructure. We've got pipes bursting all over the country. And we need that water infrastructure again so that we can build up in our cities, provide that affordable housing close to people where people work and play, and also that public and active transport infrastructure that we need in our cities too. Cycleways, walkways, parks, and bus and light rail routes, all that sort of stuff gets invested in by local government. And so we need to be giving more money and more power to local government to do that. The trouble is central government politicians don't like doing that because they don't get to cut the ribbon at the end of the day. So there's petty politics that's actually preventing New Zealand moving forward here.
Cool, Jeff Simmons, te ara. That was Jeff Simmons of the Opportunities Party speaking to 95BFM's James Tapp this morning about their environmental policy and a few other things touching on infrastructure and the politics of politics.